Minded. This is Quanita, aka Coach Q, and today we're talking about 10 minutes of value. Our podcast title today is called It's a Trap. I'm not sure where the Holy Spirit is going to lead us. I was starting to read in Deuteronomy at first, and what I'm reading is knowing that, you know, some things do begin to come up, and if I really think about this timing, you know, it's fall, things begin to fall out of place, fall in place, fall into order, but you have to stay still enough to hear God. And what the world wants to do is really almost numb you to God's voice. It's almost like they don't want you to know that he's there, but if you keep working hard, which means I'm going to lead you to exhaustion, you'll get to God. And that's not what the Bible says. God says literally, be still and acknowledge me in everything. So if you are in a season where you feel like some things are not expanding or releasing the way you thought they should, I want to encourage you to don't give up, because the way God does things is he does it in his own timing. And the way the enemy does things is he lures traps so that it looks like there's something that you think that should be there already. And what God is saying, I'm going to get you to the other side. However, you've got to not jump off the boat. You've got to go through the mist and then figure out what the figure is over there. And yes, you can, you know, maybe you are frightened, but wait, ask the question, be bold enough to say, Jesus, is that you? And if it is, you step out into your new beginnings. Amen. So if I read what I read earlier, Deuteronomy is such a really good book in the Bible. I've not read all of it. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that. But I do say that if you guys want to listen to more independent Bible study podcasts, let me know, because in 2023, I'm looking to start an independent study on our website, to where we actually do live Bible studies together. And so the book of Deuteronomy would be a really good place to begin as well. But I started in Deuteronomy chapter 12, and this chapter is dedicated to the chosen place for worship. Now, a lot of times this is not identified to us in this new millennium, but back when God had to identify things, he's still doing that today. So in this chapter, he's basically going through his people and letting them know, yes, they're in the land of the Levites, but you have a certain way that is considered worship. Now, he knows that the people were already doing what they wanted to do. Now, hence, that sounds very familiar. But he came and gave them instructions and guidance to wisely manage their time. Therefore, they could be able to wisely manage their time. Now that they're doing that, they were able to truly worship and honor God's presence in all that they do, because they had a connection with who God is and what God wants from them. So chapter 12, verse 17 says, but you may not eat of the offering in your own town or in your own hometown. Now, this is going into the ceremony of how to clean the meat and how to truly do what God is asking you to. And in verse 16, it kind of goes to clarify, especially in 15, how do you butcher your animals and how do you truly bless God in that process? You know, back then they had to do these sacrifices of animals, because the animal's blood was innocent enough. And we know the story that Jesus came and his blood was the purest of all, which helped us be able to have a relationship with God today, because he died on the cross for our sins. Now, I want you to stay with me, because remember, we always go with these metaphors, but today I'm trying to be straightforward with you. The cleansing of our sins, the enemy has already tricked us to think that your Jesus is not good enough. That's the trick. That's trick number one. If you have pen and paper, or you have opportunity later on today, come back and write that down. Because he constantly wants to trick you in thinking that your protection is better than his. Your guidance is better than his. Your preparation for your life is better than his. He constantly wants to contradict You are not shining unless you shine on the outside. Don't worry about what's on the inside. Worry about what's on the outside. And so he gives you the bedazzled, shiny things. And the whole time, the emptiness vessel screams. But you iced out. But on the inside, you hollow. Okay? So these people at that time were learning these things. Now, in this world, God is going to continue to groom us as we learn how to do things. He's not asking us to sacrifice meat or bless, you know. Of course, he does tell us how to consume meat still. You know, you're not supposed to eat anything raw or drink any blood from an animal. You're not supposed to do anything like that. You do not have to quote me or go back and forth with me. It's in the Bible. That's just what it is. So I personally understand that that's what he was saying in 17. Basically, do not consume, you know, this meat in this way. Also, don't even eat it in your hometown, right? Either your tithing, your grain, your new wine, new olive oil, nor your firstborn of your flock or your herd, nor any offering to fulfill a vow, nor voluntarily offerings, none of this, and I'm paraphrasing, nor your scared offerings, right? Verse 17, verse 18, you must eat these in the presence of the Lord, your God, at the place he will choose. Verse 18, that's where I want to stay at the place he will choose. It first starts with, what is the main trap the enemy tries to get you with? And for all of us, we all have fallen and sinned and have come short of the glory of God. But the biggest thing is he wants you to stay in the disrespect of God. He wants to hang this as a trophy in hell. He wants to get you to have this, I can make my own decision idea. He wants you to have it as a reality, because even in verse 18, God is not just giving this person at the time that was on the earth the instructions to write, but the instructions of the truth to how to live and how you must put things in his presence. So therefore, God, we thank you, because how else will we be able to understand what you called us to do? So it says that you must eat these things in the presence of your God at the place he will choose. Eat them there with your children, your servants, and the Levites who live in your town, and celebrating in the presence of the Lord your God in all you do. Remember, the number one trap is to think that your preparation, your way of doing things, is much better than God's. And the way he does that is that whatever you desire, he gets it faster than God can. He tries to accelerate the process so that you'll get blinded spiritually, and he can cripple you mentally, and then you'll be stuck physically. I don't know about you, but some of these quotes, they're not mine. I guarantee you, they're definitely God's. But that is the point. He wants you to fall into the trap so that when you think this is God, it's truly him. He wants to reverse the psychological idea for you, because here's a good example. When you cannot forgive someone, he will tell you it's better for you to move on to something else. I don't know about you, but I've been there, and I've moved on multiple times in different areas where God was like, if you would be still, I could heal the wound. But all you're doing is making it more wider and deeper, because you're doing other stuff that is just like what I told you to don't do in the first place. Now you just found somebody else to do it with. Okay, you didn't ask me to preach today because it's only 10 minutes of value. But what I'm saying is God is so true. He allows us to think about these things, and that when the enemy comes in like a flood, God literally lifts up a standard. How does he do that? If anybody knows what a mouse trap looks like, that mouse trap has to literally stand up, right? And when the mouse comes in to get whatever it is, peanut butter or cheese, it snaps over and kills or traps the mice. So just imagine these areas where it's not a mouse trap, but it's your phone, it's the computer, it's porn, it's a TV show, it's gossip, it's a relationship, it's friends that are not really your friends, they're frenemies. It's people who laugh in your face and they talk about you behind your back. It's traps that look invisible to you to the naked eye. This is why we have to have kingdom understanding. We have to have the discernment of God to be able to understand, God, how do you need me to be in your presence? When I come with all the stuff that I have, right? I have all this stuff. I have issues. I have complaints, maybe. I have something going on in my life at this time. God, what do I do with this? You literally acknowledge him in all you do. When it comes to eating, even eating, everybody knows that we eat more. If you're a Christian like I am, if you are a real believer in Christ, you know that the word of God will fill you up more than food. So even in that, I could take this verse and say, God was truly saying, when you read me and when you worship me, you ought to be able to thank me in that presence. You ought to be able to tell me that I'm coming out of the enemy's traps and that whatever he has bedazzled and shined up, I will deny myself and follow Christ in the midst of being in the trap and saying I was wrong and saying I didn't know. And even when you did know that, God, I tried to do this on my own, I was thinking it would be better this way, I am wrong, I am sorry. And we lead straight to repentance. So what is my point? My point is Romans 12:2. I've always gone back to Romans 12:2. I'm going to turn there now to read it very clear to you, because there's something about Romans 12:2. You know, the podcast has been established with Romans 12, but Romans 12:2 reads, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, remember, chapter 12 in Romans is dedicated to living a sacrifice to God. Living as a living sacrifice to him means that you can no longer take the thoughts you had before your relationship and try to think that those are still good. One thing that I had to learn as I've gotten older and mature is that not even my own thoughts are good. Not even my own ideas are good, because I had to learn how to check them. You know, I had to learn how to understand, what cycle am I thinking these thoughts through? How am I coming up with these conclusions? And why is this enemy, you know, so strong in this area? And I think that I'm overcoming. You know, again, I was telling you guys in the last podcast, perversion literally pulls layers of protection off. So when you don't have repentance in your life, true repentance, then you have a vulnerability spot to be hit. It's just like God said, you know, in Ephesians, to put on the whole armor. It's basically putting on the whole armor but forgetting the helmet. Or you put on the whole armor but you don't have your chest plate on. These are pieces that are essential to how we fight in the kingdom of God, because we know that all of our fights are not physical, yet they may feel and they may manifest physical, but they're truly spiritual. So today, and only today, I want you to rejoice with me, because God is saying you can come out of this trap. All you have to do is say, all you have to do is pray, all you have to do is admit that this is where you are, this is what has happened, what was your involvement, and I disagree now. I do not want to be in this trap. I do not want to be a part of the enemy's kingdom. Yes, he has tried to wine and dine and thrill you the best way he can, but he has left you so empty, and that even the hardest thing you ever done, you try to push yourself to the hardest level, you try to accomplish the biggest thing, and you still have a hole that cannot be filled. I want to let you know that God can fill that today. If you recite after me this prayer, I believe that God will come and enter into your life by your choice, with you understanding that this is not going to be easy, but I truly want forgiveness, God. I truly want to forgive people. I truly want success in the kingdom. I do not want success on the earth. And even if you don't even understand that prayer yet, that's another one. But being able to be bold enough to say, God, for you, I trust you more than what I see, because you have a way of mastering life that I've never seen you fail. Nothing of you is gone. It's all still here. No matter what people try, no matter what people create, no matter what the enemy has said that he's going to do, it is written in the book that you have already set the future in, set in stone. And I want to be on the fighting, winning side, and that's God's kingdom. Amen. So today, let's pray this prayer. Dear Father, I thank you for coming into my life. for opening a door that I cannot. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. No, for my sins. For all of my sins. For all of my sins. I believe he rose on that third day with the keys of hell, all power, and all glory, just for me. I have sinned. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask that you do not leave me nor forsake me, especially when I have left you. Cleanse my heart. Renew my mind. Make me over again in your image. Allow me to begin to break the traps I once fell in. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, that there is no demon that can stop me to get to you. There is no mountain that is too high, and there is no valley that is too low. So God, I need you. I desire you. I want you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And I pray real quick for you, as if you are a new believer or as you're a returning believer. I pray against every enemy that tries to come back to throw you off track, to distract you, or to put you in a place of a trap. I pray that every time he tries to test you, that you overcome in that test. And when you fail, you get right back up and you repent, because God has said that he is a God of chances, and he's also a God of searching your heart. So I pray that your lips are not in vain by saying words today, but your heart is truly dominated, and you feel that pulse, boom, 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 to know that Christ, I live for you. Christ, I did know you when I was younger. Christ, I went to church. Christ, I fell in those traps. I've been living a life of pure darkness, and I'm trying to find the light. It's hard. Please, God, forgive me. The Bible says that when we ask for forgiveness and we confess with our mouth the sins that we did do, then and only then will he be able to forgive us, because we have shown him our first work. Putting him first in everything, he says to seek the kingdom of God first, and all the other things will be added. Today is your day to go home. I mean, many of us have a home and a house and bills, and I'm talking about a home that you can never feel alone. You will never feel outcast or abandoned. God loves you so much that he still has you here, even after the pandemic, and the pandemic still going on, even during the inflation, even though as everything rises and eventually it will all fall, he is still here looking at the purpose he put in you and praying that you decide and choose for real this time to stay on his side. Do not allow the enemy to set another trap and you fall in. But I pray that you are going to be a person of faith, and you're going to be a trap breaker. We're not sitting in the trap. The world has made so many songs about that. But the reality is, spiritually speaking, some of us have to repent from even listening to that sound, because it pulled something out of us that God said, this is not me. And where are my children? You are my children, but where are you? Can you even hear me anymore? So I pray for your freedom, and for you to let go of everything that this world has told you it is promised. Everything in this world will pass. There is nothing we can take with us. The only thing that matters is God and what God has put on the inside of you. Somebody is waiting for you to do what God has called you to do. Your purpose matters. And if you don't think so, why would God create you and make only one? You're that unique that every single trap the enemy set for you and he hanged in front of you, he knew how uniquely it needed to be made. And so, yes, he has studied you. Yes, he knows what you desire. He knows things about you. But you know a God that said he is going straight to hell, and that's the only place he can go. He can try all he wants, but he has no other location but that. Amen. So I pray your strength in the Lord. You continue to be blessed and begin to think differently, sound differently, behave differently, because God is watching not just you, but all the people connected to you and who you should be bringing into his kingdom. Amen. Have a great day.